Next talk is Board Applications of Insecticide to Manage Stink Bugs in South Carolina and Georgia Cotton by Francis Ray Jones.
Thank you. I'd like to begin by acknowledging two of my co-authors, which were not in the program. That'd be Will Henderson from the Edisto-Rec in Blackville, who helped with cotton harvest and use of a yield monitor, and John Herbert, a postdoc with Mike Taves, who helped with some of the GIS maps I'm going to be showing. I've had a number of talks on stink bugs for the past couple of days. I won't spend too much time on their importance in the Southeast. In South Carolina, the green stink bug is the most abundant species in cotton. Brown is harder to control because it's more tolerant to pyrethroid insecticides, so we need to use an organophosphate insecticide. And management currently relies, of course, on carefully timed insecticides. We used to have a static threshold of one bug per 6 row foot, but more popular now is the use of internal boll injury, which was 20% injury. But more recent research has led to the development of dynamic thresholds, weeks 3 to 5 of bloom. We have a lower threshold because that's when we have a lot of soft bolls in the cotton field, which are very susceptible to stink bug feeding. And we've done a number of studies over the past couple of years looking at sampling and spatial dynamics. Some of this we've published some work on developing of sampling plans for both stink bugs and boll injury. We've also been looking at spatial patterns of stink bugs and boll injury within cotton fields. I want to show you one chart. This shows the density of stink bugs per square meter using a beet cloth, and this is density from the edge of the cotton field in meters. So zero would be sampling between rows 1 and 2 of the field. And we have a fairly consistent pattern of having higher densities along the edge of the cotton field. And we know that some stink bugs are moving into the cotton field once we have those soft bolls in the field that they're feeding on. And because we have higher densities along the edge of the field, what we wanted to do was evaluate what applications of insecticide within the cotton field to control stink bugs. So, for example, if we were to treat a 50-foot border around a 25-acre field, that would require treating only 3.8 acres. So, of course, that'd be saving time, saving insecticides, and that would, in turn, lead to an increase in densities of beneficial insects in the cotton field. And this is what this figure illustrates. The orange color would be the band that we would be spraying. So we did some on-farm and on-station trials in South Carolina and Georgia in 2009, all planted with Bolgar 2 to minimize any need for control of worms in the field. We placed a sampling grid over every field with one sampling location in the middle of every acre. And we also had some edge effect transects similar to the ones I just described, 0, 5, 10, and 25 meters into the field. At each location, we did some beet cloth sampling weekly on 12 foot of row. We also collected 10 bolls for injury assessment. And we used board applications of Bidrin and Bathroid so we could get good control of all species of stink bug in the field. And this is an example of a field at the PD Rec in Florence in South Carolina. It's about a 15-acre field, so probably on the small size of ideally what we'd like to use. But these green dots indicate the sampling locations in the grid sampling plan. So this flag would be in the middle of an acre of cotton. And I'm going to be referring to internal locations, which are locations in the field which are surrounded by cotton, versus external locations, which on one side there's an edge of the cotton field. And these are the edge effect transects at 0, 5, 10, and 25 meters into the field. And in some of the fields, we had these transects along each side of the field. We used a mist sprayer to apply the insecticides. And this one actually belongs to our state boll weevil eradication program. And we can adjust the angle of the sprayer. We can control the sprayer with a wire that goes to the cabin of the pickup truck. And we can calibrate the sprayer by adjusting the speed of the pickup truck. So it's very quick and easy to use. And this is an example of our field being sprayed at the PD Rec in Florence. And you can kind of make out where the spray is going. And in this particular field, on that side of the field, we probably got 70 to 80 feet of application along the border. So again, same field, and this in green is the what didn't receive applications of insecticide. The wind tend to come from this direction, so this side of the field probably had a little bit less coverage. But I'm going to show you, first of all, boll injury along the edge of the field. We applied insecticides on August 3rd, August 10th, and August 17th. On July 30th, which should be a few days before the first application, we already had 17 to 22% boll injury across these four distances. So already sting bugs were present and causing damage. After two applications and right before the third application, we got down to 5% at 0 meters, and the same at the end of August, a couple of weeks after the third application. And if we look at, these are some interpolation maps, looking at adult sting bug density per 6 row foot. Green would be very low densities, and the lighter colors would be higher densities. And we did have low insect pressure in this field in 2009. But you can see we have, here and there, we have patches of stink bugs. We kind of had a hot spot up in this corner of the field, and then we applied the first application a few days later. And you can see, again, we still have populations in the field, even after two applications. A week after the third application, we had, I think, only one stink bug in one corner of the field. And then we had an increase in populations, and by September the 9th, you can see we had a few stink bugs in the field, but again, at pretty low pressure. When we look at boll injury, we have similar patterns. It's kind of difficult to pull out some really obvious patterns by looking at these maps. And you can see by September the 9th, these internal locations had pretty high damage levels. So I think one way to look at this data is to look at those internal locations versus the external locations. Because we would expect the internal locations to receive none or very little of the insecticide. So if we're not getting good control of the sting bugs in the field, we're going to get higher densities at those internal locations. So this is total adult stink bugs per 12 row foot. This is the external location, this would be the internal locations. The arrows indicate those board applications of insecticide. So you can see after the third application of insecticide, we had no stink bugs present. But again, you know, we had already some stink bugs in the field feeding or present in the field before the applications. A lot of variability looking at the immature stink bugs. But I think it's more interesting when we look at the boll injury. The external locations had a fairly constant level of injury, around 20%. There's a slight decrease after the third application. But the internal locations, we had an increase in injury. But to me, that indicates that we weren't getting good control of the bugs in the field, and they kept on feeding on the bolls and causing injury. And I think we applied insecticides too late in 2009. It was probably already in second or third week of bloom when we applied the insecticides, and certainly in 2010 we're going to be more aggressive and apply the insecticides earlier. Now this field was on station at the PD rec, so we were able to manage it as we wanted to. But again, this shows these high infestation levels before we applied insecticide. So we ran a yield monitor across this field, and as we would expect, there's a lot of variability in the field, and it's difficult to tell whether our board applications were effective in any way looking at this map. What I did do is average yield around each sampling point in the grid, and we did get a higher yield along the exterior portion of the field. So that could be because we did have lower boll injury in the locations around the field. And in all other six fields of this study, they were on commercial farms, and in every case the grower applied insecticide across the whole field once during the season. So it makes it rather difficult for us to draw any conclusions as to the efficacy of the board applications. But you can see here in this field in Georgia, the external locations had a pretty high level of stink bug density a few days before the first application. A week later, you can see we really did decrease those the infestations, whereas the internal locations, there was an increase in density. And by the end of September, the external locations, there was a more rapid increase in densities, which is what we might expect if the stink bugs are moving into the field from the outside. A very similar pattern looking at immature stink bugs. And again, looking at injured bowls, a little bit difficult to draw any conclusions here, although we did get a little bit higher injury in the external locations by the end of September. In one more field, again, we have high densities in the external locations of the field. And the border application certainly did reduce them a week after that application. But again, we did have a whole field application in this field. And when we look at bowl injury, the internal locations, there was quite a bit of an increase even after we applied that first border application. So to me, that indicates that we weren't getting good control of stink bugs in the field. Now, here's a few maps right here from one of the fields in Georgia. And this is about how many acres? There's one of these sampling locations in the middle of every acre. So certainly it was larger than the field we had in Florence. And these green bubbles indicate the density of stink bugs. And this was a peanut field right here. And we had higher densities of stink bugs along this interface, which is what Glenn Tillman showed in some of her work in Georgia. So the stink bugs are likely feeding on the peanut and moving into the cotton field. And we didn't have bowl injury from every location, which is why some of these squares right here, we don't have any data. And this was a couple of days before the first application of insecticides along the border. A week later, you can see we have a significant decrease in the density of stink bugs. Still some bowl injury, particularly along that the cotton-peanut interface. So now is the date that we had a whole field application of insecticide. A week later, probably the bowl injuries, maybe a little bit less, and we have another border spray application 2 days later. There's a lot of variability in this field. And again, on September 21st, the only stink bugs were found along that peanut interface. And by the end of the month, we have pretty high densities again along that interface. So we had a lot of variability within fields and stink bug density and bowl injury and yield. We did reduce bowl injury along the edge of cotton fields by using board applications. But unfortunately, the interior portions had pretty high levels of injury. So in 2010, we're going to be a lot more aggressive when applying insecticides and probably put out the first application and during first bloom. And with that, I'd like to thank these agencies for funding. I'll be happy to answer any questions if I have any, if I have time. Okay. Any questions? Okay.